prior to beginning my homily, just a little quick survey. Due to daylight savings time, raise your hand last night if you intentionally went to bed early. Uh-huh. Exactly. I have a feeling the 11 o'clock mass is going to be slammed today. The 7:30 was a little sparse, and when I asked that question there, all of them raised their hands, by the way. They're my type of people. I changed my clocks yesterday at 1 o'clock in the rectory and in my car, and it led to me having a panic attack because I looked up at one time and I thought that it was 4 o'clock, but it was only 3 o'clock, and I was literally missing the 4 o'clock mass because I had changed all my clocks. Okay. If you're a parent, you know that you have to repeat things. We have some parents here today who have children. Many of you are parents, and you know that as a parent, you have to repeat yourself. And you repeat things that need to be said, and you repeat things that you want your children to clearly understand. Things such as, say thank you. Say please. Be home by 11. Clean your room. Do your homework. Say your prayers. I love you. We repeat things that we clearly want our children to understand. On the second Sunday of Lent, it is important for us to realize this. If it's worth saying once, it's worth saying 1,000 times. On the second Sunday of Lent, every single year, we hear the same story. The story of the Transfiguration. And God repeats himself in this story. Not only does God repeat himself, but the church, by choosing to tell this story every year, the church, our mother, repeats herself over and over again. What do I mean? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three evangelists that are known as the Synoptic Gospels, all three of them in their Gospels have the story of the Transfiguration. All three of them also tell of Jesus' baptism, which we gloriously have depicted in our high altar here. At Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration, God the Father says the exact same thing. At his baptism, as Jesus comes out of the water, the dove comes down, the skies part, and we hear the voice of God the Father say this: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The exact same words are said at the Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So why does God the Father say this twice to his Son? And why does the church, our mother, have us hear this at least 2 times a year? On the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, the last of the Christmas feasts, and on the second Sunday of Lent. And I believe it's because God the Father and the church, our mother, knows that we need to hear it because we don't believe it. Raise your hand if you're baptized. Today, we are going to witness a baptism. And I just want to tell you that it's absolutely awesome that we're witnessing a baptism on the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. Because what happens when you're baptized? You are made a member of Christ's body. And what is said of the head can be said of the body. So what does God the Father say of his Son? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. with whom I am well pleased. Every single one of you is a child of God, and every single one of you is precious in God's sight, and every single one of you is loved by God. When we look in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God creates the world in 6 days. On the sixth day, the crowning glory of his creation is humanity, where he makes man and woman, male and female, in his likeness. After the creation of woman, he looks at all that he's created and says, "It is good." And the reality is that we don't believe that. The reality is that we don't believe that. And so God the Father and the church, our mother, tells us again and again, "You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased." We constantly listen to the lies of the world that tell us we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we're not tall enough, we're not short enough, we're not skinny enough, we're not powerful enough, we're not rich enough. We listen to our list of sins as we stand in line for the confessional, and we believe that God couldn't love a sinner like me. And I will tell you, those are all lies of the devil. And when I say that, I mean that not in some sort of just fantasy way. Like, that is the devil speaking to you. Look this week, look at the stories of the Transfiguration, all three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of the stories of the Transfiguration take place immediately after Peter confesses Jesus to be the Messiah. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus, after Peter confesses who he is, Jesus says, "Okay, I am the Messiah, you're right. But I'm not the Messiah that you think that I am. I'm not going to throw off the Roman occupation. I'm not a political leader. I didn't come to save you from a government. I didn't come to save you from political oppression. I came to save you from your sins. I came to save you from the lies that you believe about yourself. I came to bring you eternal life." And then Peter, after Jesus tells him that he's going to be crucified, Peter says, "No, Lord. No. That's not going to happen to you. You're not going to suffer, Jesus." And Jesus looks then at Peter, the first pope, and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter believed the lies within his head. And Peter chose to allow Satan to be a part of his life. And the vast majority of Christians choose to do that every day. I'm not talking about demonic possession, but I'm talking about the fact that the majority of Christians truly do not believe who they are in God's eyes, in God's sight. You are God's beloved children, my brothers and sisters, and within you there is glory. You see, if you look at the story of the Transfiguration, it's intentionally placed where it is in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because Jesus has just said that he is going to suffer and die. So what is the Transfiguration? But the Transfiguration reveals that in the midst of Jesus' humanity, that there is glory. As he tells them he's going to suffer and die, as he tells them that he is the Messiah, he then reveals to them, "No way, hold up, inside of me, you're going to see blood and sweat, you're going to see betrayal, you're going to see death, but inside of me there is glory, and I'll show it to you right now, so you will believe that it will ultimately come." And the same is true for you and for me. Within you, whether you believe it or not, there is glory and there is greatness and there is possibility. And maybe you can't see it, but God does. So often we allow the world and what she says to keep us from believing what is true about you and about me, and that there is greatness and glory and possibility within us. And to believe anything else is to believe the lies of the devil. I'm in my 12th year of coaching. And I will tell you that one of the most powerful moments that I have as a coach is not when someone crosses the finish line winning a race or breaking a school record or qualifying for state. In fact, that's not why I coach. The most powerful moments for me as a coach is when I look at one of our athletes, oftentimes one who is not an elite athlete, and I look at them and I say, you want to know what? There is greatness and there is goodness and there is potential in you beyond all imagining. And myself and the other coaches see it. And the look on that child's face is an expression that is beyond explanation. For many of those young people, they've never heard anything good said like that to them before. But the reality is, I'm just telling them what is true. Because inside of every single one of you is glory and greatness and goodness. And yet we continually allow the world and the devil to lie to us, to say that that's true about someone else, but that's not true about me. You see, my brothers and sisters, you are God's beloved children, and within you is glory. I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to do one thing. I want to challenge you to spend an hour this week, just 1 hour. I want you to go to one of the 7 churches in Dearborn County, to our Perpetual Adoration Chapel, and to spend an hour in prayer. And I want you to read the stories of the Transfiguration. I want you to spend the first part of that hour hearing God the Father say to you, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. And I will tell you, if you do that, you will hear the voice of the devil. Whispering in your ear, that's not true. That's not you. God doesn't love you. I want you to spend the rest of that half hour realizing that there is glory, that there is goodness, and that there is greatness within you. Because there is. Until we acknowledge that reality, we will never truly start living. Until we acknowledge the fact of the reality that on the day of our baptism, we are claimed as God's children, and as the mystical body of Christ, we are his sons and his daughters. And that there is greatness and glory and possibility in every single one of us. Once we acknowledge that, we then want to share it with the world. But until we acknowledge the fact that God has created us good and there is goodness and greatness within us, we will never share it with the world. We won't even share it with ourselves. So I want to challenge you to do that. Because God wants to transform your life. And he wants this Feast of the Transfiguration that we celebrate on this second Sunday of Lent to be real and not just another Sunday. Immediately following this homily, we're going to baptize this little girl. What color is she wearing today? What color was Jesus wearing when he was transfigured on Mount Tabor? We don't do this without purpose, without intentionality. This little girl who becomes God's beloved daughter. And within this little girl, there is glory and there is greatness and there is goodness. And to believe anything else is a lie of the devil. And that's why we give her this gift. Because it's the greatest gift she'll ever receive. And you've all received it. May we allow the gift of our baptism, may we allow the gift of being sons and daughters of God, may we allow the gift of carrying within us greatness and glory and possibility to transform us and the world. Through God's grace, may it be so.